The big confusion, other than me because of my detesting tight ends picked high in the draft, was we go running back with our third pick. Now, you got an SB Nation breakdown on Sims, or is this guy off your radar too?
Nah, I mean, I did first round pick guys, basically. So
you did pretty deep. I was watching you tweet these out,
right,
though. You
did like 19 of them. Yeah. I did like one guy who was late round pick, and that's Michael Sam for obvious reasons. Yeah. But most of my guys were first round picks. These on into the weeds, you have to kind of be on your own. Some people do that. Some people have 7-round mock drafts, but I didn't have time to do that because I was putting so much time into each one of those breakdowns.
Right.
But I have watched film on the kid, and I watched him when he was at West Virginia. You know, I was one of those, like, I got nothing. That was my tweet last night was, I got nothing. Because you got Gabe Jackson just sitting there waiting for you to take him, like, hey. And I love Gabe Jackson. He's physical. He might be a little bit too big for what they're trying to do. And let's be honest about something. Back up for a minute. One of the things that's driving me effing nuts right now is I really don't know what kind of offense we're going to run. You know, it's under wraps. They won't really let the cat out of the bag. They keep telling us general stuff, oh, we want speed in space. Who the hell doesn't? You know a lot of people, offense coordinators, that want slow people in space? I think most offense coordinators will take speed in space.
Yes.
Oh, we want to do this. We want to be up-tempo. Hell, everybody wants to be up-tempo. But I'm sitting here like, what in the hell are we going to run on offense? Because that helps you know if this player fits or if he doesn't fit. So today I was like, you know what's interesting? We got the two big wide receivers. Now we got the big tight end. Now we got the smooth running back who's a little bit taller, a little bit bigger. Probably going to end up being about 215, 220, close to six foot. Really good hands. Well, by gosh, this sounds like the Chicago Bears offense.
And we don't have an offensive line either.
There you go. And I said that when we had Lovey. The one thing I was worried about was the offensive line. But you look at his skill position guys, right? Brandon Marshall, mm-hmm. Vincent Jackson, Alshon Jeffries, Mike Evans, Matt Forte, Charles Sims, Safarian Jenkins. Now, he didn't have Michael Bennett's brother when he was there, but he's been sitting out for a year. I'm sure they keep talking about he watched a lot of college football. I'm sure he watched a little bit of pro football to see how his old team did, too. And you know what? It's hard as hell to defend those kind of people in a package. So, again, best player available. Charles Sims looks for the world, just like Matt Forte. Great hands, really smooth, can run inside or outside the tackles. Is a different kind of back than we have on the roster, really, because we have these short guys with okay hands. And the thing of it is, and I talked about this a lot last year, if you recall, people always talk about Martin being an all-purpose back. And he put up some great numbers that first year. But most of those passing numbers, receiving numbers, were on, like, screens and little quick passes. You didn't see them put him in the slot and run a crossing route and try to run away from somebody or run a comeback route. He was just more of a, okay, we'll throw the ball to you when it's a nice, easy throw. But then last year, he was even dropping those. I mean, he had like five or six drops the first three or four games.
Vincent Jackson, who I adore, couldn't catch last year.
But he's always had catching problems.
It's just terrible,
though. You look at Vincent Jackson. I was looking up some on him the other day. For another piece, and they talk about his first 2 years, how much he dropped the football. Because he was a physical freak, and everybody was like, why isn't he on the field anymore? And he had a lot of drops. So that's kind of unique to him. But first of all, you got a quarterback that won't have to try to aim at somebody's feet to throw at the running back because they're so short. Second of all, you have a guy that is very versatile. You can do so many things with Charles Sims. So what you really get out of this is, they came in here and didn't like much of anything we had on offense. So they're going to switch it all out. You know, Tim Wright might be the only holdover in him and Vincent Jackson when you talk about skill position guys. But they came in and said, we don't want midgets running the football for us. We don't want to have to tell our quarterback, look, try to throw this seam pass to a guy that's 5'6", 5'7", 5'8". Go to a guy who's 6 foot tall against a middle linebacker. And let's all have a party in the end zone after he scored. So that's what you get out of this. They didn't like Mike Williams. He gave them more than enough reason to finally trade him. They upgraded that significantly with Mike Evans. They did like Vincent Jackson because, again, he's a lot like Brandon Marshall. So they're remaking this whole offense and their image. Whether you like it or don't like it, it shows that they at least have a plan.
Right. And that was one of the things we talked about coming in is if you have a plan, generally people will go along with you. They'll give you a chance. What happens when the plan doesn't work, and it's not a binary, right? So it's not just it doesn't work or it does work. You have to give it time to sink in because, like we always say, when you implement anything in coaching or in the corporate world, it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Right.
When we go to training camp this year, we go watch these guys play. Now, we had Mark Cook on the show a couple weeks ago, and he talked about some of the stuff he saw in that opening camp, and he saw some five wide receiver sets, which I didn't know we could even run because I didn't know we had five wide receivers on the roster at the time. When they start implementing these kinds of differences, when we can see them, then we can start to make some decisions about how things look. Now, when I look at the cupboard, right, we talk about what's in the cupboard, and you got Martin, right, and you got Rainey, and you got these guys sitting there. Running back just seemed like a spot we had some talent in. That's why it seemed odd to me. But then again, our friend Bruce, who we have a Leadership South meeting with, made a comment, and he is wise beyond his knowledge in football. His comment was, and he always does it like this, he's like, I may not know the most about football ever, but I'm just saying I'm taking the best player available from a position that didn't get picked much. Because chances are they're going to be better than the 6th-rated guard or the 7th-rated whatever. And damn it if he isn't kind of right.
Exactly. I mean, once again, we have to kind of pull ourselves out of the situation because we're going to inject what we think they should do. It's kind of like the whole mock draft thing. So many people started believing all these mock drafts. And so they see a Manziel in the mock draft, and they just, well, we surely going to get Manziel to where we get what might be the best wide receiver in this draft or the last couple drafts, and they're disappointed. So you have to pull yourself back and say, look, do I want them to draft a guy that I think they should get, or do I want them to draft who they think is the best player available at that time? And I do believe in best player available. I've seen it work too many times. I've seen going for need not work too many times. So I'm going to trust in them until they give me a reason not to on the field.
Fair enough. Now, Corey, you've been quiet over there. What you got going on? What are your thoughts about the Sims acquisition and what that may mean to the Buccaneers offense?
I feel like the Sims acquisition was, you know, was solidly the personnel guys looking and saying that when all things came out, this was the best. This was the player that had the highest rated. They think he was the best running back in the draft, period. So to get him where they got him was tremendous value. And you know, like you said, sometimes you have to be smart. You have to take that best player. You're going to build a team full of football players, not needs. I mean, too often we make fun of teams that they reach for a need. They need a linebacker, so they're going to pick one 8 spots too early. They need a cornerback. You need football players. You need guys that you can put a football team together with. And that's what they did. It was a football pick. This was a team picking a football player, a guy that they thought was supremely talented, a guy they thought would probably go middle of the second round. He was there for him in the middle of the third round, and they took him. So I have no problem with that. I think that's a great pick.
Now, with the pick in a position where we seem to have some groceries already, what do you think that may mean to the guys that are already on the roster? Anything at all? Or, I mean, how many are you going to keep?
Go ahead. Well, I'm always of the belief that there's no problem with strengthening your strengths. There's no problem with becoming stronger in an area that you're already strong at. You can never be too – I mean, the way football – it's such a cyclical – personnel in the NFL is so cyclical, you're always going to need something, and you're always going to be weak in an area. So sometimes if you have a chance to strengthen your strengths just to build for year 2, year 3, you do that.